Self-domesticating mice suggests some animals tame themselves without human intervention.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
They domesticate themselves. What does that mean?
Mice are able to tame themselves.
They're not like the dumpster rats that make you pay a toll when you go to throw your trash away.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
I mean, because they all like to hang around there with their baseball bats and their leather jackets at night.
Yeah, you want to throw your trash bag in this dumpster? You're going to have to pay for it, buddy. 50 cents. That's 50 cents for you.
Sorry, Mr. Rat. I just wanted to get rid of my garbage.
50 cents, big boy. Where rats run this dumpster.
On 1340 WKGN.
Can I ask you why the rats are charging 50 cents?
Well, they need the coins, too. They got to pay for other things. They got to buy booze and hookers.
Strangers in the night, exchanging glances, wandering in the night.
Hour 3 is brought to you by our friends at Iris Networks. Go to iristransport.com or call 865-448-IRIS to learn more about how you can optimize your business communication solutions with someone right around the corner, a Tennessee business that wants to help you, a neighbor, someone who's been in the area for over 20 years. You sign up today, you sign up tomorrow, you sign up this week, you will make no payments for 90 days with our friends at Iris Networks. We're in it for the long haul. Global solutions right around the corner. IrisTransport.com. Hour 3 headlines, Cody McClure, Collision Course. Right meow.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
The Redskins' Ron Rivera says, don't bet against Cam Newton with the Patriots.
Say that one more time.
Ron Rivera has a message for those ready to doubt that Cam Newton can rebound with the Patriots. Don't bet against him. And if there's anybody that knows about betting, it's Riverboat Ron.
I hate that nickname. I'm not going to lie. I hate that nickname.
You've always said that.
It's an ironic nickname, and no one remembers it being ironic. And he was the most conservative coach in the league for so long. And then all of a sudden he realizes, hey, I got a 260-pound running back at quarterback. Maybe I should be going for these fourth and ones. And then all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, he's just a big game. Oh, it's so stupid. Don't want the world to see me. Such a great song. Do they have any, I guess.
I had a dream about this song last
night.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. You get any more headlines?
Yeah. So Ron Rivera says, don't bet against Cam Newton, basically.
I saw them debating on who's got a better chance, who's going to win more games, who's got a better chance of winning the Super Bowl this year between Cam Newton and Tom Brady. That feels a little crazy to me. But, I mean, I don't think of Tampa Bay as a Super Bowl contender either. But, like, I don't feel like New England's a Super Bowl contender with Cam Newton. Like, I mean, I know Brady kind of stunk last year, but that Patriots defense was a little overrated, and that Patriots offense had a lot of problems that I don't think Cam Newton's going to necessarily solve all of them. Like, they were a pretty flawed team at the end of last year.
Yeah. Well, you know who else was flawed? Auburn in 2009. Weren't they, like, winless in 2009?
Well, yeah, what does 2009 Auburn have to do with anything?
Just saying, Cam Newton can...
came over and took them.
He can turn you around pretty quick.
I don't think they went from winless to...
No, they were 8-5.
Yeah, they went from winless to...
I was thinking of 2012 to 2013.
Yeah,
That was the year they were like 3-9, and then they went...
To the championship. But they really should have been like an 8-5 team, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they got lucky on a couple of plays. They just... A
couple of them.
Yeah, a couple of really big plays there. The Cardinals have cut the rookie receiver, which I told you about yesterday.
Sure.
After he drunkenly drove his car into Lake Erie. Well, now they've cut him. The rookie receiver, Jeremiah Braswell, was arrested allegedly driving his car into Lake Erie while intoxicated over the weekend. Sounds like he had a good time. But apparently the former Youngstown State receiver is no longer a Cardinal. His NFL career has come to a close.
You can't be undrafted and get in trouble, bro. Like, I mean, you can't.
Nah, it's tough to keep it going there, isn't it?
Seems like it, you know? You got to be on your best behavior as an undrafted guy. You got to go in there and work harder than everybody and be the ultimate team guy. You can't give them a reason to cut you before you even get started.
That's right. That's right. He's cut.
No, I mean, I know. He's gone. See ya.
Mike Francesa says the Patriots, quote, continue to get off easy after they landed Cam Newton.
I mean, like I said, it was a perfectly timed news dump. No one really talked about the punishments yesterday. They just talked about Cam Newton taking the Patriots to the playoffs and maybe going to the Super Bowl, rather than, hey, this team lost another draft pick for cheating. And it is crazy that in every other sport, we look at Barry Bonds, we look at Mark McGwire, you know, we just had that documentary, we look at cheaters throughout all the sports, Alex Rodriguez, all of them, and we put asterisks next to what they accomplish. Yet with the Patriots, we never have any asterisks. When we talk about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, we still acknowledge that they are the GOAT duo. Many people call Tom Brady the greatest of all time, including the guy to my left. And everyone pretty much all comes together and says Bill Belichick is the GOAT. And yet they have been caught cheating not once, not twice, but three times. It does seem like they got off pretty easy.
Shaq Barrett was evacuated from his home due to a wildfire. He joked around that the Buccaneers, quote, need to help me buy a house. The star pass rusher is set to play 2020 under the franchise tag. Shaq Barrett is committed to suiting up for the Bucs in 2020, even if it means playing under the one-year franchise tag. But apparently, in the wake of him being forced from his Denver home due to a recent wildfire, he has joked that he could use a long-term contract sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to work out for Shaq Barrett there in terms of getting a long-term contract. I mean, if he does it again this year, maybe. But, like, Shaq Barrett is someone who came from pretty much out of nowhere, right? I mean, he was pretty much an afterthought in Denver the year before, right?
Yeah, I think they got him super cheap, like the offseason.
Yeah, he was just pretty much an afterthought, and then he came in and led the league in sacks. But, I mean, in Denver, I don't feel like he was ever – I mean, he had three sacks last year. His last year in Denver, he had three sacks. He had four sacks the year before that. So, I mean, seven sacks, 2 years combined, and then he comes in last year. And granted, it's the first time he got to be a starter, really. I mean, in 2017, he started 9 games out of 16. But, you know, in 2018 with Denver, didn't start any games. Got down to Tampa, started all 16 games, and had 19 and a half sacks. So I'm imagining they don't want to give him franchised pass rushing money off of one season. Maybe if he does it again, they'll pay him. If he does it again, at least he'll get paid by somebody.
Yeah, he was
even
really...
if he hits double digits.
He was really burning it up last year.
It was awesome.
One could say he was on fire.
That's really tasteless.
I tasted it.
Well, at least you don't have Rona. At least your sense of taste hasn't gone away.
Boomer Esiason, speaking of Rona, has suggested that Alabama, LSU, and Clemson players are catching COVID-19 on purpose.
I mean, there are people who think that.
The former NFL quarterback Boomer Esiason floated an idea on his radio show that college football teams in the SEC and other schools like Clemson could be having their players test positive now so they can have a better advantage come November and December. How does that work? Herd mentality, said Esiason. Esiason said it struck him as odd that so many players from prominent programs have come down with the Rona as they all began reporting back for workouts.
Would you say so many prominent programs have? I mean, we've had LSU and Clemson. Is there anybody else that's come back with just a...
Bama?
They only have, like, what, five or seven?
And they I don't know. He included Bama in there.
Okay. I was going to say, I knew they had a, you know, what we thought were high when it first happened. They had, like, five or seven, but I don't feel like I would lump them into the guys coming out with 30.
Boomer is suggesting that they are catching it on purpose to get out ahead of it.
Doesn't that just seem really dumb when you say that out loud?
Mm-hmm. It does.
I mean, there are people who think that, though. But, I mean, does it not just seem dumb when it comes off your tongue and you actually say that out loud?
Yep. Yeah, it does. It does to me. Damian Lillard's on some video game.
He is on the cover of 2K. 2K21. Is that right? 2K21?
Yeah.
Wasn't there a movement to get Kobe on the cover of 2K21?
They're doing like three different covers.
A Legends cover.
Legends, and then I guess a couple others. And Dame's on one of them. I'm sure Kobe will get the Legends cover. And then, yeah, I think there's another one too.
Okay.
Just got off the phone.
I thought they could have put Kobe on all the covers, to be honest, but whatever.
Yeah, you could have done different versions.
Good for Dame. Good for Dame time. Cool for him. I mean, never gets to win anything out in Portland, so at least he gets to be on the cover of 2K. I wonder if they'll put any of his rap music on there, if he'll get to have any of the tracks for 2K.
Good question. I'm looking through the soundtrack.
They probably don't have it released yet.
Yeah, I was going to see if I can find it.
But they should put let Dame Dolla get a song on there.
I just got off the phone with free agent defensive end Jadeveon Clowney.
Ooh.
He told me at this time that he intends to sign with a team before the season starts, if everything still goes on time with the season.
Oh, okay.
Clowney also...
So he's not going to sit out the whole year?
No, Clowney also told me, no, I have not narrowed down a final team. I'm still open. That report coming from Josina Anderson. He didn't call me.
Josina always wants people to know that she's in direct contact. It's weird. She doesn't just put out reports. She'll say, just got a text from so-and-so. Just got off a call with so-and-so.
Well, a lot of reporters.
She could have said, Jadeveon Clowney tells me that he will sign with the team.
A lot of those reporter types want you to know they're important. It's really important to them. The Mets GM is optimistic that Cespedes will play in 2020. As the team tweaks the player pool, they are also mulling an addition of Tim Tebow.
Oh, yesterday they said he wasn't on the roster, but I guess if people sit out, they get to promote more people.
The Mets added veteran bats Melky Cabrera and Gordon Beckham to their
pool. Did they really say they were considering Tim Tebow? Was that a joke or no?
No, they're mulling it.
I mean, that would make sense in a season where you needed like attendance and like maybe some people to come watch, but like I don't imagine we were going to have...
Spots remain on the Mets player pool list, and that could include one for minor league outfielder Tim Tebow. He is under consideration for one of the remaining spots, it says.
That seems really stupid.
Tebow owns a slash line of 223-299-338 across parts of the three minor league seasons. He's got 18 home runs in 287 games.
I don't feel like that's good.
No. No, not really.
Go back to headlines. Stick with us to talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Got some breaking news coming out of the SEC. Cameron, please hit the horn. We got a new home and home scheduled. Ole Miss. Who do you want to see Ole Miss play, Cam?
I'd like to see them play like a Texas.
Ole Miss and Texas? Again. Okay, Cody, who would you like to see Ole Miss play?
Oh, USC, actually. I would like to change my answer to USC.
I think they already signed a home and home, didn't they?
Did they?
I believe they did.
I'm about to say with Kiffin being there.
I want to say it was like 7 years in advance, and everyone's like, there's no way old Kiffin's still going to be there in like 7 years. Cody, do you have a team you want to see Ole Miss play?
I'd like to see Ole Miss play...
Home and home.
Memphis.
Don't they already do that?
Sometimes.
Well, can I interest you in a
Wake
team
Forest.
From east of the Mississippi?
Mm-hmm. Wake Forest.
Mm-hmm. Wake Forest? No.
Syracuse?
No.
Virginia
Florida
Tech?
Atlantic.
Charlotte.
Ah, yeah.
Charlotte.
Big
Great.
Time.
I mean, it is weird that Ole Miss would go to Charlotte, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Was that even worth uttering?
No, it wasn't. But I was just setting that up because there is more SEC news as well that the SEC Media Days will no longer take place as planned on July 13th through 16th. It was supposed to just be a digital SEC Media Days. And this has me a little worried because Greg Sankey has been on record, Cody, saying that he wants Media Days to take place in the immediate build-up to the season. So pushing this back could and maybe should worry some people that the season might be getting altered a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that could be a situation that's going to happen. It's hard to say for sure. I don't know. I don't. RIP Trey Wallace, for one. I know Trey was really looking forward to media days.
Well, I mean, they had already canceled the in-person stuff. They had already changed that about a month ago, saying
right.
It would be digital. But now they're just saying not gonna happen.
Well, why are they not gonna do the digital?
I don't know. Like I said, the only thing to really point to right now, Cody, is that Sankey says he wants it to be in the build-up to the season, and that maybe the season's got question marks now. I don't understand why else you wouldn't have it, right? If it was digital only, like what's the harm of still doing that now and having the coaches check in, the players check in, and ask your questions and do all that? Like, what is the what's the problem there?
Yeah, I mean, what's the difference if it's right before the season or not?
To me, the only thing is that it makes me think that maybe this season could be.
Well, they never do
getting
it.
Altered a little bit.
They
keep
never
in mind that those schools had said that conferences had said they are pushing back their conference champ or open to the idea of pushing back their conference championship games to allow games to be made up that first week of December.
They never do it right before the season, anyway.
Well, no, but it's basically right before you start practice, though, ain't it?
Yeah.
So I mean
they usually do it that mid to third week of July, somewhere right in there.
And then you come back, and then basically you report to camp, right? Is that not usually how it kind of goes?
Yeah. So I guess it's right before the season. I guess right before practice starts.
Right. So, I mean, maybe practice is not starting.
Yeah, maybe not.
Same time.
Maybe not.
And maybe it means nothing. Maybe they're just like, hey, we'll do it later. Or, hey, maybe we won't do it at all. It's not that important in the grand scheme of things. Like, do we really need SEC Media Days?
No.
Does the SEC need Media Days to sell any storylines?
Not really.
Not really, right?
Not really.
I don't know what storylines could come out of a digital teleconference anyways.
I think it would have gotten a lot more fun this year. Like we could have gotten some good quotes out of there probably with
I don't think you would have. I think you got even
Kiffin,
less.
Kiffin and Leach.
Okay, okay. If you look at it from that way, I thought you meant just from the digital virtual reality of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I just mean the coaches.
The coaches, like, okay.
It would have been a better media days than it has been. You know, it's been boring lately.
Honestly, is there anything to the idea that maybe they don't want to have it because they don't want coaches being peppered about Black Lives Matter stuff and they don't want anybody slipping up and saying the wrong thing and they're using this as a convenient excuse to be like, hey, let's just not do this right now because
could be. I could see Mike Leach saying the wrong thing.
I mean, you could see any of the coaches saying the wrong thing if asked the wrong question or maybe not saying something that they would want to say
or
just wording it wrong or not having a proper answer. Yeah, like somebody could give a bad answer and speak their mind. And when I say bad answer, I would just mean in the court of public opinion or inside their locker room.
Mike Leach, do you believe that Black Lives Matter? Well, yeah, they do. But you got to think about all the other things that matter out there, too. You know, squirrels matter. Squirrels matter. I used to have a relationship with a squirrel when I lived in Washington. He was a good friend of mine. I used to chase him through the neighborhood, and we became really good. Okay, thank you, Mr. Leach.
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, that.
That's enough, Mr. Leach.
Part of me wonders, though, if that is, a part of the reason.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
What do you think? More likely that just because the COVID and maybe we're delaying. What do you think is more likely, that we're delaying the season? That this is an indicator that we're delaying the season, or that it is a let's just not put these coaches and players out and having media pepper them with questions right now?
I'd say the former is more likely.
Okay.
The first thing you said.
I understand what the saying means.
Do you?
Yeah. I won trivia this week. For a week, I have the elite brain on here. Yeah.
Most people usually just say the latter, though.
They I know. Hardly ever Very rarely do people say the former.
People
you are correct.
Rarely refer to the former.
Yeah.
Something interesting, I guess, about saying the latter.
I think
what would be really confusing is if I asked you a question and I said, I need you to get up on the roof. I can either bring you a ladder or I'll bring you a set of steps. And you answered the latter. I would never know what you were talking about, you know? Excuse me, are you saying ladder or latter? Wouldn't that be confusing? You didn't even hear what I said. You're not paying attention.
I mean, I was doing something for the show, but I was...
What are you doing?
Between the... I was sending out a tweet with the link. The talking point I was talking about now.
They know we're on.
Okay, fair enough. You want to run back to that ladder scenario?
It was better the first time, really.
It didn't sound good. It didn't sound good the first time.
If I say it again.
Cam, would you consider that to be good the first time?
I just don't think that's a situation that I'd ever be in.
I'm just saying, I need you to get up on the roof. I got a set of steps and I have a ladder. But if I say, would you rather have a ladder or the set of steps? And you say, the ladder. I don't know if you mean that you want the ladder to climb on or if you mean the ladder option.
You've ruined it.
I don't think it was good in the first place.
It wasn't really supposed to be good. It was supposed to be one of those things that was just like, okay, where you just do your okay, you know. But now the whole thing's just ruined.
I'm sorry.
Please continue with your tweet.
Don't be mad at me because your joke didn't land. You don't have to take this out on me. I am not the enemy here, okay?
It wasn't supposed to be some groundbreaking joke, okay?
I am not the enemy
here.
It
was just a little thing I was going to say that you were supposed to react to it like never mind.
Let's discuss it. Bigger deal of this segment, the Ole Miss Charlotte announcement or the SEC delaying media days.
This has been the worst segment ever. It's been an awful segment.
We've had worse.
We've not delivered in this segment.
Do you have a mouse in your pocket over there?
I'm talking about you and
I've done a pretty good job.
You started it with breaking news about an Ole Miss Charlotte series.
I
okay.
thought it was funny because we got you okay. guys talking about, I'd like to see them play USC. I'd like to see them play, who'd you say?
You said Memphis.
You said Memphis, who they right. usually play anyways. And but I was like, no, Charlotte, ha, ha, ha. And then we talked about how they're scheduling group fives and how that seems to kind of be a trend that other schools are doing. And
let's see what this super important tweet was.
It wasn't
was
that
yet.
Important. I said it was just
part
the talking point.
Part of me wonders if this is because the season could get delayed. Another part of me wonders if they don't want the players or coaches to say something controversial about the social equality movement.
That's exactly what I
hashtag
said I was
tweeting. Black Lives Matter.
I didn't put a hashtag,
hashtag
on
don't forget. Hashtag remember 9/11.
Is hashtag don't forget something? Is that a
never forget. Hashtag okay. never forget.
I didn't know if there was a new one about things.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
You're really taking that ladder joke not hitting to heart, huh?
It wasn't supposed to be a good, like, it was just a little thing I was going to say and you were going to react, but you weren't even paying attention.
So is it a big deal at all that they're moving this back? Probably not right now. I mean, are you worried at all? Is it?
They don't want the questions for, like, people asking when the season's going to start and the Black Lives Matter stuff. I think it's just the combination
just
of all that. They're just like, it's probably for the best. While we're still trying to figure stuff out, that we wait.
Not really. And there's no point in us coming to the mic and telling you that, hey, we don't know. And we know that's where you're not really going to ask about our depth chart.
Exactly.
You're not really going to ask about our too deep when we got all this other stuff going on. That's probably the right answer there, Cam. Yeah. It's just a combination of we don't have any answers on the one matter, and we don't necessarily want to talk right now about – we don't want our coaches or anybody else talking right now about the other matter.
Yeah.
That's probably it. That's probably much more likely than them just saying we're getting ready to delay the season.
Yeah, because I'm assuming they're still trying to, do the season on time.
Okay.
So they're just kind of just like, there's nothing to really gain out of doing this, so we can only hurt ourselves, so let's pull this back.
Okay. Ole Miss, after adding Charlotte, here's a couple of their games coming up. Next year they have Liberty coming to town. Hugh Freeze
coming to
2023, they go at Tulane for some reason.
Oh.
2026, they go at Charlotte. And 2029, they go at South Alabama. So, like,
scheduling.
What the hell are they doing over there with these schedules?
Well, they're trying to schedule competitive games.
Kevin's trying to get these wins.
Teams that are on their level.
I mean, if you play those games on the road early in the year, you can use it as a good test, I think. I do think there is some benefit to going to Charlotte if you're going week two. To do it before you get into SEC play, right? But if it's a late season road game, that's really, really stupid. But if you're doing it in the preseason, kind of as your bought win or whatever, but you're going and you're paying them less money to come in because you're giving them a home game, you might not be having to pay them much of anything to come in. You can test your team on the road before you get there to play conference games. I don't think it'd be that stupid there, but yeah, just really weird. You don't see too many schools do this. Let's go to break so Cody can try to put together his broken heart. Let's talk sports. It's Fan Run Radio. Are you ready for a... Are you familiar with what happened on the Slice podcast?
Did somebody get cut up? Boy, I'm killing it these last few minutes.
No, that's not what happened. You had Trey Smith, you had Josh Palmer talking. Trey Smith told a pretty sad story about, his first encounter with racism.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was, the players part of the podcast would probably be worth the listen. You know, they're doing a good job of giving the players a platform and helping them build a personal brand that I do think will help ultimately when it comes to letting these guys make some money when they can sell their likeness. But, you know, Trey Smith talked about his first battle with racism, talked about being a 4-year-old kid, being at Walmart and seeing a friend from preschool, a little white girl. And says he went up to say hi to her and was met by her. It was either her dad or grandfather with the N-word. And how he had to go back to his dad and ask what that meant.
At 4 years old.
And said that girl no longer talked to him at school and they were no longer friends. He said that was his first real battle with racism in Jackson, Tennessee.
Yeah, I was going to ask where did he grow up, but not that it doesn't happen everywhere.
Yeah, but Jackson, I mean, Tennessee, over there, yeah, in West Tennessee.
I was trying to think of where he was from.
A lot of people that live in West Tennessee say Jackson is pretty segregated and pretty.
Is it?
That's what people say.
Family in Jackson.
Do you?
Yeah. Is it segregated?
Yeah, you could tell the different parts of town for sure, I'd say.
I mean, redlining has a lot of cities segregated anyways kind of thing with that, but.
What is redlining?
Is it redlining? Redlining is like for the voting, right? No, that's gerrymandering. What is redlining?
No, gerrymandering is when you're having an argument and you try to use something that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Redlining is when it comes to the neighborhoods, like when you judge people on the neighborhoods for like credit scores and stuff. Like when
they go to the bank to get a loan and you see where they're from.
And your neighborhood's not deemed good enough type of thing. Or, like, you can't get, like, house insurance and stuff like that.
That seems like classism.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what it is. But gerrymandering is the voting stuff that we always – that's what the joke is during this or that. Like, gerrymandering isn't really what we do. Gerrymandering is when
– Yeah, it's just when you're having an argument.
When you're in control of the election and you can
– Not in control of the argument, basically.
How you want and so you rope off certain neighborhoods to
– You try to pick one thing to argue about that really doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying we don't use it properly. That's kind of the joke of it. And this
sounds like you're gerrymandering right now.
Maybe a little bit. But Trey Smith opened up about that. And Josh Palmer had a pretty big quote coming out of it, too, that has upset some people. Have you seen his quote?
I have not seen it, no. He's probably our best receiver right now, right?
And I've told you our wide receivers are going to be better this year than they were last year.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I'm telling you they are.
You've said it.
I'm telling you they are, and I don't want to, like...
I hope you're right. I mean,
I don't want to, like, beat my chest early. I don't want to beat my chest early.
Beat it off.
No, I'm not going to beat my chest off. But the initial reports from the...
I'm going to beat off all my demons. You ever watch Walk Hard, Dewey Cox story?
No, not really my humor.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Mr. Elitist.
No, I'm just saying John C. Riley isn't really for me.
It's
all the time.
It's like one of those. It's almost like it's like a cult classic. I mean, it's
just like a parody movie. It's not really.
It's not supposed to be some.
I liked Scary Movie when I was a kid. Like I enjoyed Scary Movie, but like
you can enjoy things without having to.
I'm just saying I've never watched it. I'm not saying I watched it and didn't enjoy it. I just said it's not really my thing. I haven't watched it. I've seen it. I've seen it on my Netflix recently. I was like, I don't want to watch this.
And my dreams, you're blowing me some kisses. It's got some great songs in there.
Sounds like it. Josh Palmer, who I think is going to be our best receiver and who I said I think is going to lead this receiving corps to be better than they were last year, which, by the way, like I was talking about beating on my chest, the initial reports from whenever they actually were able to do some team activities was that these freshman receivers have been really impressive, the guys that Tennessee has brought in, so it made me feel better about my prediction. But Josh Palmer, the leader of the receiving corps, said, at this point, any Tennessee fans out there, if you guys don't support us as human beings, don't come to the games. Because I'd rather have nobody in the stands than a bunch of fakes who pretend to like us because we entertain them. To which Trey Smith said, I second that 100%. And that's led to some people being
upset.
That made
people mad.
That made people mad on the internet. It's a little bit of like a hit dog hollers type of thing. Of, well, yeah. I, you know, like they shouldn't say this. The fans care about them. And, and then you're just like, yeah, like if you're one of the fans who care about the people as human beings and care about their emotions and, you know, quality and all that, then you shouldn't have to argue the fact. Just, yeah. I read it. I said, okay, cool. And I kept it moving. Like, I feel like I am not the people they're talking about. So I didn't need to defend against it. I was like, yeah. Cool. But if you're someone who was mad, like basically what they're saying is if you're someone who's mad about, you know, Coach Pruitt going on the Black Lives Matter protest and we're upset about that and tweeting bad things and we're mad about that, then they feel like that you don't support them as human beings, and they would say they would rather you not go to games.
I think that's a fair take.
I mean, it's kind of wild that players are pretty emboldened across the country, though. Yeah. I mean, they have found a voice, and not only have they found a voice, the universities have given them a microphone, literally. Like, Tennessee has given these guys a microphone and said, go speak your truth. And, you know, that was something that was said. And, you know, I'm imagining there are 2, 3, 4, 5 guys on, like, a UT media team that has to, like, be in there listening while recording and maybe listen to it and proof it before it goes out. And they all said, cool, sounds good, and put it out there. And, you know, it's a statement that shouldn't be controversial of, like, hey, if you don't respect us as humans and support, you know, equality for us, then don't come to the games. We don't want you. You would think that would not be a controversial statement, but it did lead to some basically the same type of arguments of that comes from Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter and shut up and dribble, entertain, you have it made, you're an athlete at Tennessee, you don't know what hardship is, blah, blah, blah.
Jeez.
But I do give Tennessee credit for giving these guys a microphone and letting them speak the truth. And you know, you have Josh Palmer and Trey Smith, who I think are going to be two of your team leaders.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, the fans are going to be there no matter what.
There's a lot of comments coming back of like, fine, I won't spend another dollar.
Yeah, you might have some people that feel that way and that don't, but at the end of the day, stadium's going to be full.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other people will come.
I did the thing that I give you grief for.
What?
For making it a country voice when saying I'm not going to spend any more dollars, and that was unfair, so I should just use a regular voice. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. Growth.
It's just an impression.
I'm just saying I was just on to you about
it. It's not necessarily
yesterday or a couple days ago, and I was just acknowledging that I realized that I had done it and I had called you about it. Self-awareness is key here.
It's really growth. Not a big deal.
Snap your fingers.
It's
growth.
It's really not a big
snap
deal.
Snap your fingers for growth.
I'm not a good snapper.
You aren't a good snapper. What is wrong with you?
I mean, I can do it.
Oh.
But I don't like doing it. I've never liked the snapping motion.
Are you snapping multiple fingers, Cam?
No.
Just the middle. Okay, I can only do the ring finger.
I can do
You know what it kind of sounds like in the mic?
Not the ring finger. I mean the middle finger.
Oh.
What was that? What is wrong with you? Any thoughts? I mean, where's Tennessee going to draw the line? Like, I do wonder, like, is this Slice podcast going to continue during the season? Because I do think that giving a microphone after a loss would be a pretty tough scenario. Like, are they going to do that? Is this like an off-season type of thing? Where's the line going to be drawn? Do we know that? Has anyone made that plan public? Is it just an off-season program?
I feel like it would just be an off-season thing.
That would
but
be my guess as well.
I guess you're probably right. Although, like I do think they could do big numbers in terms of, like, you know, getting players together after practice to kind of go through, you know, not any X's and O's stuff, but to continue with a behind-the-scenes look. I mean, if they're looking at building brands and looking at giving fans access, that could be something they do. But I would say that UT would want to be in control of putting, like, video packages together and stuff like that versus actually letting the players host a show. Anything to add there?
No, not really. I mean, I just.
You want to sing more songs from?
I just hope that they
Dewey Cox.
They work it out, huh?
You want to sing more songs from Dewey Cox?
No, I don't want no part of that, Dewey. I don't want no part of that. Never once did you pay for drugs. Never once.
Is that the part where they were making fun of Ray?
No. That's what they say at the end when he gets.
Wasn't the drug use there making fun of the movie Ray? Or was it? I guess it could be Walk the Line as well.
Oh, it might have been. I don't know. They kind of made fun of they spoofed a few different.
That's what I'm saying. Just
a lot of it was Walk the Line.
Okay.
You know, walk hard.
Yeah, I mean, I got that by the
hard.
For some reason, I thought was there a blind guy in the movie or no? I thought there might have been a spoof.
I can't remember.
The movie Ray as well.
I watched it the other day. Brandon had never seen it, so I wanted to show it to him.
Bonding experience?
Yeah.
Did he like it?
He laughed at parts.
He didn't really like it either.
Yeah, he liked it. It's like one. It's one
that
of
would
those
be
movies.
A movie
where
that would be a movie I'd be scared to show somebody. It doesn't feel like it's one that's. I don't like showing people movies anyway, especially when I'm gonna watch it with them because I'm just constantly watching them. Like, are you gonna laugh at that part? You didn't appreciate that? Yeah. Like, you don't find this funny? What's wrong with you?
Well, it's one of those where you just go in with the approach that you know it's a stupid movie. Like, you're not really supposed to take it serious. You know.
I know, but that seems scary to show somebody, right? To show somebody
not
that type
really.
Of movie.
It's just kind of a lighthearted, kind of a
okay.
Wrong kid, Dad. You know, that's what his dad keeps saying. Because like in the Johnny Cash movie, you know, in the Walk the Line, because Johnny Cash's brother died when he was young. And that always messed up Johnny Cash, and he had a weird relationship with his dad because of it. So they spoofed that.
Was that
Walk
a part
Hard.
Of that?
Yeah. So in Walk
I remember
Hard,
that from Ray. Like Ray Charles' brother drowns in the tub.
Did it happen to Johnny Cash, too? I'm pretty sure it happened to Johnny Cash.
I don't remember that from Walk the Line, but I really don't remember much from, like, the child. You sure?
I'm almost positive Johnny Cash's brother died when he was a kid.
Okay.
He was at, like, a... What,
I mean, him and the dad do have
he got
beef.
Got caught up in a saw or something.
Okay.
I can't remember.
You might be right.
They said something like, wrong kid dad is what he would always... But then in Walk Hard, they spoofed it to where his dad, like, every time he saw Dewey, he'd just walk up to him and, wrong kid dad. Like, he'd just say it to him over and over.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure that was a real thing with Johnny Cash.
Yeah, I mean, you might be right. When I think of Walk the Line, I just kind of think of, no, you're right. There is that part. He's got blood all over him. He bleeds out, right, from the saw.
And Walk the Line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it happens to Ray Charles, too.
Pretty rough way to go out.
Maybe it was just all spoofing Walk the Line, and I just thought there were similarities there with Ray. Let's move on.
There might be. There's probably some Ray stuff, too.
Let's just go to Last Call. Yeah. I mean, he had a brother die, too. He fell in the tub.
I mean, those are kind of similar movies. Ray and Walk the Line.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing. I mean, that's what kind of the conversation I was talking about, boxing movies. It's easy to make those type of movies. I would imagine most musicians have a similar upbringing, at least from that time. It's like all fighters you can just make poor, trying to fight their way out. I mean, because, like, all boxers, I mean, like, there aren't many rich people getting into boxing. You know what I mean? Boxing's always just kind of been a way out of wherever you're from, like, to get opportunities. So those movies are great. And just, hey, here's this guy who's it's either a troubled teen who's got some aggression or just somebody fighting to make money. It's kind of the same way with these magician movies, it seems. Let's do Last Call.
All right. Sounds good.
See ya.
Drive through.
Last Call is brought to you by Volunteer Vodka, award-winning vodka distilled in the hills of Tennessee. Stop by and pick you up a bottle. Support the people who support us. Before we get to pump the brakes or keep rolling, I will say, Cody, I got my first text from a young lady who has admitted she has not seen Billy Madison. So,
oh, really?
We have our first submission. So not everyone.
Not everyone.
So only 99.8% of our audience has seen it.
99.8, huh?
You didn't get any.
That's a pretty
messages,
good number,
right?
Though. No, I did not.
Okay. Okay, we got one though.
That's a pretty good number.
I would say that surprises me. But okay, I mean, I guess nothing's absolute. We all have blind spots.
Yeah, I mean, it would just be hard to find that everyone has seen a movie.
That's true. Yeah, Do you think there are any movies that everybody in our audience has seen?
Shawshank?
Maybe like Lion King.
Lion King is the one that went in my head, too.
Now they're like Toy Story, I feel like.
Titanic.
Titanic, no. I don't think everyone... And a lot of people saw it.
I don't know. I don't think I actually finished Titanic. I've seen like parts of it.
You think
you see the part where the ship sank? Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Do you think that Do you think that Lion King or Toy Story would be our best bet? Because either you are sort of our age and you probably grew up watching it, or you've maybe had kids.
I feel like everybody's probably seen Lion King. Yeah.
Lion King. I do feel like that'd probably be our best bet.
Yeah.
Star Wars? No.
Nah. I haven't even seen most of the Star Wars movies.
Nah,
you've never seen the first one?
That's way more of a niche.
Maybe. I don't know.
Is it much more of a niche?
I think so.
Okay. I mean, I just feel like our audience is either old enough where it was important when it came out, or they grew up. I mean, because I just remember like my cousin showing it to me, and I was like 11.
Star Wars.
Yeah, and I mean, I didn't like it at that age. But I was like, they're like, "This is cool. You need to watch this. I love this movie." And they were all into it. And I was like, "Oh, not really for me. Can we put wrestling?
Not that great.
Can we put wrestling back on, please? The Big Show is about to fight."
Well.
Okay, good talk. Let's play some Pump the Brakes, Keep Rolling. Cody, you go first.
I got a UK woman who happens to be topless helps save a family from this.
I'm going to guess drowning, but yep. Stop.
That was a good guess. A topless UK woman has helped save a family from drowning, according to a report. The British woman, 28, saved two sisters and a cousin from drowning in the water off of a nude beach in Cornwall. I guess that's in Britain somewhere. While topless, according to a report. She said, "I was topless in the sea when I saw two young women struggling to swim near the rocks. Another member of the family ran in to help them, and she started struggling too. So I swam towards them and thought, oh no, as I realized how strong the rip current was. I was struggling myself, and they were panicking, which was not ideal in that situation," she said. She said she did all she could to save them in the water, notorious for its rip currents caused by incoming tides, regardless of the fact that she has no training as a lifeguard.
Do they have a picture of her?
Yeah, she has some good floaties, though.
No, they just have a generic picture of a beach. "I was going to tell them to float, which is the best thing you can do in a rip current, but they were panicking so much it wouldn't have worked."
Is that the best thing to do in a rip current? Just try to get on your back?
You can't fight it. I think you have to, like, kind of go
with it.
Let it
just take you?
Yeah.
They were all holding.
I've always heard that, like jumping off waterfalls, like in teleco and stuff. Like, they'd always be like, if you get down there, you just got to let it go with you and try to go faster with it, like, and let it spit you out. Like,
you got to just.
That's what I was always told. I've never been caught in one, so I don't know, like, if you would be able to remember that or not. Like,
just got to go with the flow.
Yeah, he's got to let it shoot. Hopefully, it spits you out, and then you just have to figure it out after that.
When you panic, it gets bad. It's the same with, like, sinking sand. It's the same way.
Quicksand, you just let it take you.
Yeah, you're supposed to just, like,
sinking
relax.
Sand? Is that what you called it?
Yeah, I couldn't remember what it was called, so I just said sinking sand.
I didn't know if that was like another phrase for it. It sounds fine.
I couldn't remember.
Sinking sand actually sounds better than quicksand, to be honest. Like, somebody missed the chance for alliteration there, but, you know, quicksand was something that they put in all, like, the young kid movies.
Yeah, you thought you actually got to deal with that.
Thought it was just going to be, like, in anywhere. Like, you go out to the beach, there's going to be a pit of quicksand you have to deal with.
Yeah, maybe you just kind of relax and, like, you're supposed to, like, lay on your back.
So
and, like,
then what happens? It just quits taking you down, or?
Well, once you, like, float, you're supposed to be able to, like, kind of move
okay.
to where you can get out of it. But, yeah, if you start fighting it, that's when you get in trouble.
It'd be really cool if you could go to, like, a place and experience quicksand, like, in a controlled environment.
Where they could save you.
Yeah. Like, I would like that to, like, be able to, like, go to a museum or, like, some type of place where
cool. You
could do that and, like, get into a riptide just to see what it's like. Like, I mean, you're there. Like, they're not going to let you die, but, like, you just get to feel those. You know, they have, like, indoor skydiving stuff.
Yeah.
I think, like, maybe they could figure this out somewhere, but maybe, I mean, you'd think they could simulate what quicksand does to you.
It may be a business.
I don't know if there's a lot of people like me that would enjoy doing that. Like, it doesn't seem like you'd get a lot of repeat customers.
You get some crazy people like, let's go try this.
I wouldn't imagine you'd get a lot of repeat customers either. Like, you do it once, you probably don't want to do it again, but okay, shout out to that woman.
Yeah.
Did she save?
Yeah, she just said she grabbed their hands and pulled them all onto the beach. I guess she found some super strength.
Mamba out. Now give it to me. Feels a little too quick, but we are getting, on July 5th, an 8-part documentary all about Kobe Bryant and the 2010 Lakers titled Mamba Out that will dive into them winning what they call a legacy-defining championship by beating Boston and winning his fifth ring. I don't feel like this is the big documentary we're supposed to get. Like, I feel like there's going to be one that somebody comes in and does better, because this one, and it does affect the way I perceive this documentary, will air on, want to take a guess where it's going to air?
August 24th.
No, July 5th. I mean, what channel? It's not like ESPN is what I'm saying. ESPN isn't doing this, or HBO. So, like, I'm a little worried about who's putting it out. That's what I'm saying.
BET.
That seems racist that you would have a problem with that.
We were talking about BET earlier.
Is it like NBC?
No, it's YouTube and Instagram.
Oh, I'm out.
All episodes will be put up on YouTube and Instagram, which...
Oh, geez.
So we're not going to get the big...
I don't imagine this is the big one. Like, I remember during The Last Dance, they said, like, people were working on that. Like, they had cameras following him around those last two seasons of his last years and, like, had been there with his championships and stuff. So I think there's going to be a bigger one that comes down the road eventually, but this one's maybe just trying to beat them to the market and give us some sports on July 5th. But Mamba out.
Mm-hmm.
Dropping on Instagram and YouTube.
Okay.
So I guess if you got a smart TV, you can just put YouTube up on your screen and watch it. It won't be that big of an inconvenience, but
it's not as cool as the ESPN thing, though. Like
the Jordan doc. The Jordan doc is coming to Netflix though in a couple of weeks. I think like July 9th, I think is what it was. Maybe July 3rd though. Once July hits, they're going to put it up on Netflix for the people who want
the Jordan doc.
It. Yeah,
I saw that it was on. They're showing it a lot on ESPN2 right now too.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, it's been on there quite a bit.
I haven't watched a lot of ESPN lately. That's what happens when there's no sports, you know?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of good old baseball games on right now. That's what I've been watching.
Good show today. I'm not going to lie, I felt good to beat you in trivia. I felt like got the old proverbial monkey off the back.
I'm glad you got one, finally.
Feels good to have the championship belt. To be the trivia champion of Talk Sports.
For this week, yeah.
Current champ. Feels good. Get the tie-breaking monkey off my back. To get screwed out of the right answer. To steal yours. To see you miss Robert De Niro. Ah, this guy calls himself a De Niro fan.
Got some tough questions.
He thinks that Robert De Niro won an Oscar for Deer Hunter.
It was Taxi Driver.
Well, yeah, also didn't win one for that either.